Previously, on the Discerning Geeks portal, favorite TV seasons, part one.
The podcast that can be binged for free and without a Netflix subscription.
I am one of your hosts, Todd.
I'm hoping I don't end on a cliffhanger. And joining me as always are three guys waiting to be renewed for the next season. It's Dave, Andrew, and Preston.
Is anybody still striking out there?
Don't bug Joanna.
Don't make her angry.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Me and Joanna used to have beef, and now we're just kind of chill.
Who are you again?
Tonight, we are doing favorite TV seasons. I have a bigger list than everybody else.
It's not about the size.
My lower tier honorable mentions: Babylon 5 Season 1, Star Trek Deep Space 9 Season 7, Alien Nation Season 1, Stargate SG-1 Season 10, Grimm Season 2.
I also had Babylon 5 Season 1. I also had Alien Nation on my list. Stargate SG-1 Season 7 wins for me.
A show from Japan called Hellsing.
Upper tier honorable mentions: Star Trek The Next Generation Season 3, The Orville Season 2, Stargate Universe Season 1, Dark Matter Season 2, Babylon 5 Season 5,
The Adult Swim Infomercial Series, Paranoid Agent,
The New Marvel TV Series She-Hulk.
Astronomically bad.
No. The original Incredible Hulk.
Number 10, Metalocalypse Season 2,
Flash Season 2.
Okay, I'm kind of cheating here. The combination of Buck Rogers in the 25th century
and
the original Battlestar Galactica.
Travelers Season 2.
My number 9 is Futurama Season 3.
Stargate SG-1 Season 1.
With X-Files Season 2.
Dark Matter Season 3.
Number 8, Season 7 of the Venture Brothers.
Doctor Who, Season 7.
Traveler, Season 2.
Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 5.
Number 7, True Detective, Season 1.
Doctor Who, Season 4.
The Mandalorian, Season 1.
Star Trek Deep Space 9, Season 6.
Now, the conclusion, with each geek listing their respective top 6 genre TV seasons. And, these bozos still don't ask me what my favorite season of Xena Warrior Princess is.
We're keeping things moving, and Preston, you're up with number 6.
Number 6 is a little show from Japan called Fooly Cooly.
What?
Fooly what?
What?
Fooly Cooly. Now, I'm going to explain the plot of this show to you, and then you're going to have so many questions. It's about a 13-year-old kid named Nato, and one day he wakes up, and there's a growth on his forehead. And he goes to school where he walks with his brother's ex-girlfriend. His brother is a big baseball star. He's moved to Tokyo and left Nato and his dad at the hotel that they run in their small little village where nothing happens. But Nato has a growth on his forehead, and he can't figure out what's going on until he meets a girl with a Vespa scooter and a Rickenbacker bass guitar who smacks him on the back of the head, and out falls a robot. Fooly Cooly, despite given that description, Fooly Cooly is one of the best explanations of puberty and becoming a teenager and growing up that I have ever watched. If I ever have kids, I will sit them down when they turn 13 years old and watch this whole series with them. It's really great. It really explains a lot. And it was awesome to watch when I was like 16 years old in high school.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I don't even know what to ask about that. That sounds really bizarre. So I know that you're listing a lot of anime shows, and I'm not into anime. I'm just curious, how many episodes do most anime shows have, or does it vary greatly?
It varies wildly. Fooly Cooly is only 6 episodes.
Okay.
You can literally knock it out in an afternoon. Then there are other shows that just go on forever because the creators and everyone working on them just wants to milk it for as much money as they can possibly get out of it.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who just write these shows and create these shows as contained stories. And those are usually my favorite.
All right. So moving on to Andrew with your number 6.
Yes. More Doctor Who. We have season 3, the Martha season of Doctor Who. Now, as I was trying to put this list together, I was going through Doctor Who because I knew half my list was going to be Doctor Who because it's like my favorite show ever. And I used to think the Martha season was really bad just because of Martha and how she's a basic really basic character and a really basic companion. But then as I was looking at the episodes, I was like, there's a lot of amazing episodes in this season. I think it's one of the best seasons just because of all the episodes that we get. And if you include all the longer form episodes David Tennant did in between season 3 and season 4, then this season just becomes even better because it's an amazing season and those are amazing episodes.
Sounds good. Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen any of Doctor Who, but especially that one since it was that early. You said it was season 3, right?
Yeah, it was the one with the Master, and there was some... it might have had the first episode with Weeping Angels.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which definitely bumped it up.
The peak of the series.
Yeah.
All right, so we're seeing a lot of anime from Preston and a lot of Doctor Who from Andrew. Dave, do you have anything that fits a trend, or are you giving us something from left field?
Yeah, I don't know. Mine's kind of... I tried to vary and get some different stuff in there. Some of mine, I say, if there is a trend of mine that's going to be a little different from the others, is, and you can kind of tell from some of the earlier picks, is I try to give a nod to some of the older stuff. I know it's dated at this point and the effects aren't that great, but some of the older stuff still rings true to me as being some of the best stuff that's been put out there because they were focused on story and not effects. That being said, my number six. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm actually going to kind of piggyback on some of where you are, except I'm going to the best Star Trek series out there currently with Orville season 2. I really enjoy it. I love Orville. And yeah, this just everything that they do in that series is fun. And I had to pick one, so I kind of went with season 2 because to me, you know, season 1 they were just kind of getting their feet under them. Season 2 it started rolling, and kind of with the move to a different program venue and some of all that, I think they're still kind of almost trying to get their feet under them again. So yeah, for right now, season 2 is the best, but hopefully there'll even be better seasons to come. So
I definitely agree with you since I've already mentioned that one. So yep, sounds good. Andrew and Preston, are you guys watching The Orville
yet? Oh yeah, absolutely.
I love The Orville.
Orville is awesome.
Yeah, it's Norm Macdonald's final role. I love Norm Macdonald. Yeah, I feel like it's a better Star Trek than the current Star Trek.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I appreciate, you know, when you can take the fantastical and make it mundane, and The Orville definitely succeeds in that regard. It's very much what life would be like on a Federation starship.
All right, moving on to my number 6. It's starting to fit a little bit of a trend for me. I'm going with Babylon 5 season 2. It was already good enough in season 1, but in season 2, Babylon 5 improves in almost every way. Casting, lighting, special effects, sets, costumes, props, etc. Everything gets a slight boost in quality, and especially the story where we get a ramping up of the Narn-Centauri conflict and political issues back home on Earth. And both of these things are kind of precursors to the Shadow War, which is kind of like the core of the middle of Babylon 5. But the great thing about Babylon 5 is it's not all about the Shadow War. It's got, like I said, precursors and aftershocks. And so season 2 is a nice buildup of things. Some of the best episodes from the season are The Geometry of Shadows, which is where we get the introduction to the Technomages. And the Technomages don't make any more appearances in Babylon 5, but there's a Technomage that's a main character in the short-lived Crusade spinoff. And Technomages factor heavily into two of the book trilogies that come out later that are canon. So going back to the episodes, The Coming of Shadows, which is where the Centauri Emperor visits Babylon 5, and that's also the episode that the entire season 2 is named after.
The Coming of Shadows was also the first of two Babylon 5 episodes to win Hugo Awards for dramatic presentation.
Confessions and Lamentations, which is where we get the Markab Plague. The Long Twilight Struggle, where something monumentally bad happens to the Narn homeworld. And then The Fall of Night, which is a season two finale, and that is where...
Two spoilers, redacted.
And on top of all that, a mysterious character finally reveals himself. So yeah, lots of good stuff going on in Babylon 5 season two. And Dave, I think you're the only one here that's familiar with Babylon 5. And like you said, you haven't seen everything, but do you remember enough of season two to where you kind of agree with me or you're not sure?
Yeah. And so besides the first season, which we've rewatched for our podcast, the problem I have with the rest of Babylon 5 is I kind of watched it in reruns here and there. So I have a really hard time saying, okay, I remember some fantastic episodes and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I couldn't tell you if they were in season two or six. Yeah. Or, you know,
six.
Well, five. Yeah. Yeah. Just because I, you know, at the time I wasn't watching them in order. I wasn't, you know, keeping up with it. So yeah. I'm with you. But I that's why I kind of had to put it as a honorable mention and not more in depth with my rankings, just because I haven't watched enough of them to say, hey, I know exactly that this is the season that I like. So.
Yeah, I think I'm last in the order. So I think, Preston, we're back to you, and we're now moving into the top five.
Dun, dun, dun.
The top five. I can think of no better show to represent top five shows for me than a show by the name of Cowboy Bebop.
I've actually seen the episodes of that one. This is the first one I've actually seen a couple episodes of.
Yes. Cowboy Bebop is a show set in the future. And it's about two bounty hunters, Spike and Jet, and their adventures. Along the way, they pick up the femme fatale Faye Valentine and our data dog, Ayn, and then the incomparable hacker at, more directly, Edward Toulon Tuiviste. It is an amazing show about cowboy bounty hunters in space that deals with different ideas such as family, depression, you know, recovery, and, you know, how you deal with a breakup and what that does for you. It's a show that I could go on and on about for hours. The music is amazing, written in the style of jazz. In a way, it's offbeat, it's off-center. And only six episodes fit together into one cohesive narrative, but it's a great time. Cowboy Bebop. And it's always a debate as to whether or not the full 26 episodes are one season or if you split it up at season 13. If you're one of the hard noses that say you split it up, it's at episode 13, Jupiter Jazz Part 2, then it'll be season one as my pick, even though the whole thing, you should absolutely watch it. If you want to understand why people love anime, particularly why my generation loves anime, you have to watch this show.
Yeah, I've never given it a try, but I know it's one of those famous geek shows. So maybe I got to cave in and try it out sometime.
Absolutely. It's worth your time. Really, it is.
All right, Andrew, you're up with your number five.
Yes. Okay, now we get to switch it up.
Okay.
I have season one of Umbrella Academy.
Oh, okay.
I love... what was that, Dave?
That's me banging my head against the wall.
Always hating. Umbrella Academy is a good show. I like this show. It's a good show. I like the concept. And I like the comic books, and I like the superheroes and the way they're portrayed.
And My Chemical Romance.
I don't know what that is.
That's the band of the guy that wrote the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Is it too much to ask to have a character that maybe people would care about?
You see the gauntlet. The gauntlet just got thrown down there.
Yeah, especially when you have a show where you're supposed to like worry if these people are going to live or die. you know, after a season or two, you're sitting there going, I wish they'd kind of hurry up and die so the show would end and I wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. I mean.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. We need to remember some of these debates so that maybe we can have those in another episode. Maybe we need to have a fight episode. But right now we might need to keep things moving a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm
okay. So Andrew, were you done with Umbrella Academy? Anything else on that?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
That's good.
All right. Wow. All right, Dave, what do you have for your number five?
For number five. Hold on. I clicked away from my list. Hold on. Actually, this was one that you mentioned earlier. No, this was one Andrew mentioned earlier. I actually, too, had Doctor Who season four.
Total crap.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, there were tears in my eyes with the end of this season. I mean, I literally had tears in my eyes and was moved by some of the things that happened. I enjoyed a lot of the you know, kind of the Doctor Who, kind of watched, you know, all the way through the Doctor, through the David Tennant and then some. I haven't been able to get into it in the last couple of years. I need to try it again because I've seen some takes where it looks like, okay, it's still got some interesting stuff going on. Normally, I would say with Doctor Who, I feel like there's a whole lot of fluff and other stuff that I have to get through to watch the good bits. Yeah. With that season, I really could, you know, went back and doing the research for this episode, was looking at a lot of the episodes and looking at the titles and the stories. And I was like, you know, this was a solid season. And again, the companion, it took about two or three episodes for them to grow on me. But once I was there, I was there. I was like, yeah, okay, this is good. So this to me was kind of where Doctor Who's peaked in the remake. So.
Okay, and you said season four, and that's Donna, right?
Yeah, Donna.
It's companion. Okay, sounds good. All right, my number five is Stargate Universe season two. And sadly, that's the one Stargate show that only lasted two seasons, so it's the second of the two seasons. That season begins with the conclusion of a really intense season one ending arc about the Lucian Alliance members infiltrating the Destiny, which is the main ship on the show.
Spoiler, redacted.
And this is the season where the crew get more control over the ship, which is on autopilot all through season one. And with more control over the ship, several of the support characters get even more to do. Some of the best episodes are Twin Destinies, Common Descent, and Epilogue, which form kind of a time travel trilogy. And then Gauntlet, which is the very last episode of the series. And even though I'm not sure they knew they were going to get canceled, they might have seen the writing on the wall a little bit. And that is a really good, what I call makeshift series finale, where they did the best they could. And even though there's still enough open-ended, if the show were to ever come back, which apparently it's not, it just ends so beautifully that it's still one of the best episodes. So yeah, Stargate Universe season two is my number five pick. So trying to keep things moving, let's go back to Preston for number four.
Number four for me, I got to go to Gotham City. I got to look down from the top of the Wayne Tower. I got to tell you that Batman, the animated series, season one.
Yes, that's such a, things, oh my gosh, yes.
One of the best things I've ever seen on television.
Yes.
They were able to achieve what they did with Batman by, instead of animating on white paper, they animated on black paper.
Oh, yeah.
And that you don't really notice it until that is told to you. And then you'll see everything in a much better light. You know, it's a Batman show, so like you kind of understand the plots. It's Batman versus his rogues gallery, and his rogues gallery all represent some evil part of himself that, were he not able to resist it and fight it off, he would become that because he has the opportunity to be a rich jerk like the Penguin. He has the opportunity to be an absolute psychopath like the Joker. And yeah, it's just a wonderful wonderful show, and season one kicks it off, and it's a great time.
Okay, sounds good. And how many seasons did that show last?
Different sources number the episodes per season differently. Some considered the show to have three seasons having 65, 20, and 24 episodes respectively, with the third season retitled The New Batman Adventures. Other sources consider there to be four seasons in just Batman the Animated Series, numbering 60, 10, 10, and 5 episodes each, with the new Batman Adventures being considered a separate show, lasting two seasons, one with 13 episodes and the next with 11.
Yeah, I definitely remember watching that show, and it was definitely very good, but it's just been forever. Maybe I need to give that one another shot. All right, Andrew, you're number four.
Cool. For my number four, I have season 3 of The Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Season what?
Okay, no, go ahead.
Season 3 of The Boys is good. I like The Boys a lot, and I think season 3 was one of the best seasons. It was the best season of The Boys. I like The Boys a lot. I think it's a very cool take on the superhero genre, and I enjoyed watching it with my dad thoroughly.
Have you read the comic?
No.
Ah, you should.
That's what I've been told.
I mean, it's definitely not as nuanced as the show. The show definitely portrays the superheroes in a much more nuanced light than the comic. The comic is very, Garth Ennis kind of treats superheroes like the douchebag, you know, jocks in an 80s movie. So they're all very just one-dimensional idiots that lucked into superpowers. Whereas the show kind of portrays everybody with more of a nuanced light, if that makes sense. Like, Maeve is not as well-defined or even as good of a person in the comics as she is in the show.
Andrew does have some pretty cool pictures of him, like, shooting some guns with one of the guys from...
Yeah, me and Mother's Milk had a pose down at Dragon Con, and it was sick.
Yeah, and I still haven't seen those pictures.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think I have them on my phone. Do I have them on my phone, Andrew?
I have them on mine. I'll send them to the Discord.
We'll need to post those on like Facebook or something just to, because it was pretty cool. He was a really cool guy to kind of step forward, and he's like, "Hey, I meant to throw up some guns," and that was pretty cool. So
yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, sometimes joke whenever we talk about you not being old enough for certain material that we might watch or that might get suggested. I'm like, if Andrew has seen The Boys season 3, he can see anything because I'm not old enough to watch The Boys season 3. But yeah, I have watched that season, and I was originally going to skip it, and there were still some things in there that I wish I hadn't seen. But I also have to admit that there were some things in there that were pretty decent here and there too.
So. Yeah, I like Soldier Boy especially, like as a character.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Soldier Boy was a really cool, and Jensen Ackles was
Yeah, and that show has a spinoff because I think it's called Gen V, I don't know anything about it, but I think it's been renewed for the second season already. So
I mean, it's the only thing that draws on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. All right, Dave, you're up with your number four.
My number four. And again, I feel like I'm the only one like repeating people, but that's okay. I think this was on your list already, Todd, but my number four is Dark Matter season 3.
Okay.
It was phenomenal. I mean, Dark Matter is just such a fun show. I felt like I could have picked any of the seasons, but season 3 was great. Now, yeah, it's kind of heart-wrenching at the end. Mm-hmm. And we joked at the beginning about having a cliffhanger. Goodness gracious. I don't know that I remember a cliffhanger that got hung out there as bad as this. It's like, oh, crap. But yeah, Dark Matter season 3 was great. And I felt like it needed to be on the list. So there it is. It's on my number 4 spot.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And yep, since I've already done it, I definitely agree with you. And I have a feeling I might be giving you another one that you might be repeating later. I could be wrong. But for my number 4, I'm going with Firefly season 1, as in the one and only season of Firefly. Really the only material we get other than the actual movie called Serenity. And I didn't even bother taking notes on this, and I don't even know if I need to explain anything. Folks, it's Firefly. If you look at any lists out there, a lot of people, despite the fact that it's only one season and kind of a short season, put this as their number one sci-fi series of all time. So I don't even think I have to say that much, just in case this is kind of a sci-fi space cowboy type show starring Nathan Fillion. It's got 9 main characters on the ship that are, they're just a kind of a weird mix of characters, but they kind of form this kind of family. And it really is interesting and really does have a great short season. It's one of those things that's just lightning in a bottle. Some of the best episodes would be Serenity, which is the 2-hour pilot that for some reason Fox executives chose to hold back, and it was later aired as the last aired episode, almost like a prequel. Just so bizarre. Out of Gas, which is the best episode of this show and might be one of the best episodes of sci-fi. I believe Dave and I both mentioned this in our previous episode where we talked about single episode stories. And I think we both agree that Out of Gas is more than just an episode. It's a work of art. And then lastly, I picked Heart of Gold, which is one of those 3 episodes that never aired on Fox, and you could only see it by getting either the DVDs, Blu-rays, or watching on streaming. And that's the one where the crew is hired by a group of prostitutes in a brothel on a backwards world. They're being terrorized by I can't remember if he's a mayor or a businessman or just an all-out prick, but some guy from the town is harassing them and they need protection. And so our folks kind of help protect these prostitutes in a brothel. And it makes for an interesting episode. So yeah, Firefly season 1, the only season, that's my number 4. And then I can't remember, Preston, Andrew, have you guys seen Firefly?
I have. I think it's amazing.
Okay.
It's a really great show. I would say the only reason that it probably didn't make the list for me is because I haven't watched it recently.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those shows that when it comes up, you know, I love it and I see why people that I love it. So, but when I'm just sitting there making this list of these shows that stuck out for me, it didn't make the cut.
All right. And then Andrew, have you seen it?
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right, cool.
Firefly is awesome.
Yeah. I thought that might be one that we've all seen. Okay. Coming back around to Preston for number 3.
Number 3. I have to go to the independent news service, INS, in Chicago. And there in the office sits a straw hat owned by a man named Carl Kolchak. Carl Kolchak, the Night Stalker, was only one season, but it is one of the best television shows that has ever existed. In Kolchak, the Night Stalker, it was about a news reporter named Carl Kolchak, and he would go investigate a story and then somehow end up fighting a monster of myth and legend with only his wits and an old Sony flash camera. It's amazing. It's great. It's truly a beautiful show. You should watch it.
Yeah, and in a previous installment, you told us one of your favorite episodes from that show, so I might have to watch at least that one episode as maybe a gateway to see if I would like it.
Todd said he took a break at this point in the editing to watch that Kolchak episode, number 7, entitled The Devil's Platform. On the positive side, he sees the appeal of the main character, Carl Kolchak, and enjoyed the performance of guest actor Tom Skerritt, who incredibly enough is 90 years old, and still has IMDb credits as recent as 2021. On the negative side, Todd wished he had seen more of Skerritt's character, and more of what his deal with the devil was really doing for him. Todd also struggled with the slow 1970s pacing. The show might just be intriguing enough to try another episode sometime.
Yeah, and that's your first live-action show in your list.
Well, second.
Oh, what was the other one?
True Detective Season 1.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. All right. Andrew, you're up with your number 3.
All right. For my number 3, I have Invincible Season 1.
Okay.
So Invincible is another Amazon Prime Video TV series. It's another superhero series.
Yeah.
I like Invincible a lot. And it's animated. So, Preston, this is right up your alley.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Invincible. Does it fall into, is it technically like a DC or Marvel, or is it just
no, a Tom? No, no, no. Okay. This is an Image Comics.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's something separate and smaller.
The guy that created it is Robert Kirkman. He also created The Walking Dead.
It's just such an amazing show. And I don't want to say too much, because if you haven't seen it, you should go watch it. It might not be for you. It might be too much. That's what Todd was telling me about, yeah, about how it was just a little too much for him. And that's fine. It doesn't have to be your thing. But I think if you can get into it, it's just awesome.
It's definitely not safe for Todd.
It's not Todd friendly. It's not Todd certified.
No.
Halfway, I did make it all the way through the season. It does have some interesting and likable characters, but it's also got at least one dark character that is almost too dark. And yeah, it makes the show a little disturbing at times. But yeah, and I agree with you, don't say too much, because one of the things about that show is it does have some twists and turns and shocks along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amber gotta go, though.
I'm not sure what you're referring to, because it's been a while since I've seen it.
The things are waiting for you, Andrew, because I've read the comics, so.
Yeah, I saw the season 2 trailer, and I saw Amber in there, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah, wait till Thrag shows up, then you'll be in.
Oh, yeah, Thrag.
Yeah, you'll have a great time with Thrag.
Yeah, Thrag is cool.
All right.
Moving on. Yeah. Away from us Invincible nerds.
Yes.
Okay, Dave, you're up with your number three.
Number three, I'm going back old school. I'm going back to where it all started. Star Trek, the original series, season 2.
Oh.
I mean, this is where we get the TV that we get today with all the sci-fi. A lot of the episodes, even in this season 2, are even paid homage to by newer, Star Trek episodes and things like this. This is where you get the original trouble with Tribbles, as Tribbles start reproducing all over the ship and they having to like shuffle them out as fast as they can. And yeah, I mean, to me, this is where it all begins. My love for sci-fi, my love for all things sci-fi TV is back to the original Star Trek. And so it gets my number three. It's right up there.
Okay. Yeah, definitely a classic show. And I think I've heard that season 3 is a little bit of a drop off in quality.
Yeah.
And I could have sworn I heard most people say that season 1 is the best, but I'm not positive about that. So
while season 1 has well-known episodes, Balance of Terror, Space Seed, and The City on the Edge of Forever, season 2 has Amok Time, Mirror Mirror, Journey to Babel, and the aforementioned The Trouble with Tribbles.
Sounds good. If you pick one of the first two seasons, that, yeah. Definitely a show that got a lot of things rolling. All right. My number three is kind of sort of Star Trek related, but not directly. As we've stated, The Orville is in some ways better than some of the Star Trek out there. I am picking The Orville season 3 as my number three. Overall, this is one of the best seasons of science fiction. And the weird thing is, I didn't even feel that way right away. I was a little bit worried at the beginning, because this is where the show switched from Fox to Hulu, and then later Disney Plus also. And so it had the freedom of making their episodes as long as they wanted to be. And I don't think they had to worry about commercial breaks anymore. And so because of that, I think the pacing actually slowed down a few episodes. The first episode is a little bit on the like depressing side. The second episode is almost like a horror movie. And so I was like, oh, where's the show going? But it gradually gets better. And more toward the middle and end of the season, we get four of the best episodes of this show, if not four of the best episodes of science fiction in general. Two of those episodes are A Tale of Two Topas and Midnight Blue. These are two episodes in the Moklan arc. And I've already kind of hinted at that before. The Moklans are a race in this show that are all male, or at least they're supposed to be all male. And the show kind of explores what happens if maybe there actually are some female Moklans. And these are two of the best episodes. They have a lot of social commentary and a lot of allegorical storytelling. Two other great episodes from this season are Twice in a Lifetime. I think I mentioned earlier an episode about a guy getting an iPhone and kind of developing a crush on the woman that who donated the iPhone to a time capsule. Well, this is kind of a continuation of the episode where that crew member ends up...
Spoiler. Redacted.
And then Domino, which is the conclusion of the Kalon arc. And I don't want to give too much away as saying what the Kalon arc is, except you could say it's kind of like this show's version of the Borg arc from Star Trek The Next Generation. So, yeah, great season overall. Like I said, I was a little bit worried about it at the beginning, but middle and end, they knocked it out of the park. Okay, so we're getting near the end. Preston, we're back to you for number two.
It was the biggest show on television. To me, it was the end of appointment television. It was Game of Thrones, season 6. Mm-hmm. This was, I believe, the season where they officially ran out of books from George and started writing on their own, and everyone was really worried. And you can kind of tell that they're running low on ideas, but George is still there. He's still writing a couple episodes. And man, I got to tell you, Battle of the Bastards and Winds of Winter, 9 and 10 of that season are just amazing television. And like everything from the score to the sets to the actions, costuming, and like scenery. It's beautiful, utterly beautiful. And I mean, at this point, we're living in a post Game of Thrones world, and we're dealing with the ramifications and fallouts of that.
Yeah,
but there was nothing like those Sunday nights waiting for 9 o'clock, so you could just see what was going on in Westeros.
Yeah, Dave and I used to get together at my house every Sunday night to watch the show, and I think you're right about everything you said. That was a great season. I think I'm so jaded about the drop-off in quality of the last two seasons that I think I had a divorce from that show, and that's one reason why I didn't have that show in my list any. But technically, I think you're right. It probably was a great show, at least for the experience of watching it, especially when getting together with people too. You can discuss it afterwards and theorize and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's a great pick. Andrew, you're number
Doctor
two.
Who?
Oh, no.
It's season two.
Okay.
David Tennant and Rose.
Oh, okay.
And it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's Bad Wolf. And it's cool. And David Tennant. And
is Bad Wolf really cool, Andrew? Is it really?
Yeah, it is cool.
So confession, you know, this was my second choice for Doctor Who. I knew a Doctor Who season had to be on here, and it was kind of a toss-up between this season and season 4.
That's what I'm saying. Season 2 is good. Preston's a hater.
The worst thing you can do in Doctor Who is give them a magical get-out-of-jail-free card, and that's exactly what Bad Wolf is. Like you write yourself into this corner where there is absolutely no way out except for Rose to turn into a god.
No, that's not what happened.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
All right.
They were hinting at it for a whole season. Yeah. Come on.
I will say.
And it had "You're the Weakest Link. Goodbye." In Doctor Who.
Because I'm going to support Andrew on this, which doesn't happen very often.
Jeez, thanks.
I'm just kidding. But one of the reasons that this kind of rates up there with me is like kind of going back and looking at it in hindsight and doing a little bit of the research. It is amazing how much they actually did like tie in and allude to Bad Wolf. Like I kind of felt like the same way first. I was like, oh, it kind of feels kind of like, oh, they just with Deus Ex Machina, you know, what's the one anyways where the god moves his finger and that's what saved the hero in the end. But it was interesting to go back and see that there's like dozens of times when they alluded to it coming. And I was like, well, that's actually really impressive television. The fact that over the season they had all of these clues, but they were so well hidden that it was kind of like, oh, wow, until the last minute. I was impressed. I think that's a good, solid choice. I'm with you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Now, we got to talk about some of the other choices you got, but that's, Umbrella.
Yeah, what? Let's go right now. You put She-Hulk.
All right, sorry. Is it my choice?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I don't think this one's been mentioned. My favorite sci-fi television show, and I have to mention it, and it has to get a nod here, is Fringe. And I went with season three. Probably could have picked a couple of seasons here, but I actually went with season three. Lots of good episodes. I can't say enough. If you haven't watched Fringe, you need to go back and watch it. Just stream it from all the way from the beginning and binge watch it. And to me, it's one of the best sci-fi series that's been released in recent times. So I put Fringe on my list.
I vaguely remember season four maybe being the one I like the best, but it's been so long I don't remember. Because I know there's a lot of stuff with like an alternate reality or an alternate dimension, and I can't remember how deep they are into that by the time of season three. But
they actually get into that all the way starting season two, you know. But yeah.
But there's one episode that's like waist deep into it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. My number two, maybe not a huge surprise. I talk about this show all the time. I always find a reason to bring it up. It's Babylon 5. And it's season four that I put in my number two spot. This season has the six-episode culmination of the Shadow War. And I've already kind of hinted that the Shadow War is kind of like the main thing that Babylon 5 is about, but it's got a lot of build-up to the Shadow War and a lot of aftermath of the Shadow War. So within the aftermath, we also get the great episode No Surrender, No Retreat, which is about the liberation of Proxima III. There's a lot of really great strategy and combat in that episode. That's also the episode that the season four has the overall title come from. And then later, there's an episode called Endgame, which is kind of the culmination of the Earth Civil War. And then maybe not one of the better episodes, but there's also kind of an internal Minbari conflict. They kind of go through their own civil war, too. There are all kinds of little aftershocks to the Shadow War. And so season four is a really big season of Babylon 5, my favorite TV show ever. And so, yeah, I would say I love season four and would really recommend it. And we now roll back around to Preston. For the home stretch, number one. Preston, what's your number one?
I went back and forth on this a lot. Both of the shows that I consider for this, I consider some of the greatest television that I've ever seen. However, given the overall topic, I have to go with 1A, and that's season two of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Rod Serling's magnum opus. It includes my favorite episode, The Obsolete Man, as the season finale. But this has just a lot of great episodes. Two is in this season. You know, if you ever want to understand how horror and science fiction can be used to discuss real life topics, I feel like the 101 course, the freshman course, should be The Twilight Zone season two. Honorable mentions to my 1B, that is Fargo season 3. It is a clever take on Peter and the Wolf that mixes in a whole animated episode where about how the main character feels alone as used by a robot trapped on the moon, and also the allegory of Midwestern heaven being an endless bowling alley with free drinks and free concessions.
Amen to that.
Okay, so you kind of made two seasons your number one. Now with The Twilight Zone, Does that season contain your number one episode that you mentioned in a previous episode?
It absolutely does. It's the season finale.
And I did start watching that episode and I fell asleep. And it's not the fault of the episode. I think I started watching it too late at night. I need to go back and finish that episode up. Another classic show that got a lot of things going in sci-fi. Yeah, that's an understandable pick, knowing that you're a big fan of that show.
Yeah, it's truly great. Like, as I say, that's 1A. I had to include Fargo in there somehow because it's such a great show and it's just completely offbeat. And whatever you think is about to happen, I can guarantee you something completely different will end up happening by the end of the season.
Sounds interesting. Andrew, you're up with your number one.
Guess which show? Yes.
On five.
Star Trek.
Xena Warrior Princess.
Ooh. It doesn't take a doctor to figure it out.
Yeah, it's going to be Doctor Who. It's going to be one of the Peter Capaldi seasons.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, no. Don't be ridiculous. It's going to be Doctor Who season six. The epitome of what Doctor Who should be. And we all know that Doctor Who is the epitome of television.
Give me some episodes.
Give you some episodes? All the River Song. All the River Song. A Good Man Goes to War is my personal favorite. Like, the first two episodes are amazing. The Doctor's Wife is good. Even some of the filler episodes are good. And Let's Kill Hitler is very good. The Black Spot was a good filler episode. I love this season. I love this season. It's such a cool season.
I like the Matt Smith seasons myself.
And the hotel episode, that was a good episode. I just love this season. It's so good. There's no bad episodes in this season. There's nothing in here that I'm like, can we skip this episode? No, I want to see it all. It's awesome.
Awesome.
It could use a little more David Tennant, but that's it.
Matt Smith was fine.
Matt Smith was good. I like Matt Smith. But David Tennant is the...
People fell in love with David Tennant. And I feel like that hurt the series more than it helped it. Everyone was waiting for the next David Tennant. And Matt Smith...
There's not going to be another David Tennant.
Yeah. It's the fourth Doctor problem all over again.
Yeah, because the Fourth Doctor was amazing in the original show. I remember watching the Fourth Doctor with my dad. He was like, this is the best Doctor ever.
Yeah, I mean, that was the legitimate opinion. Like, that's why he's in the 50th anniversary episode.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I respect your choice because it sounds like that's one of your favorite shows. I can definitely understand it. You picking one of your favorite seasons from there.
Yeah.
So, Dave, you're up with your number one.
My number one. And I realized that I kind of missed out on mentioning just a couple other honorable mentions. But I also had the Twilight Zone on there for season two. I think you have to have the Twilight Zone on there somewhere. It's just another one of those classic sci-fi. It has to be on there. And the other was actually had Stranger Things season one on there. As an honorable mention that I'd missed because I just enjoy that show so much. And it's my now appointment television that I need to watch whenever the new season comes out. So, and season one started all, I thought it was very well done. I thought the story was sharp and the characters were great. So, those were kind of just
ready for the hottest take.
Whoa.
Yeah. Season two is better.
See, some people like it. I mean, I like the first season. I mean, I've liked all the seasons, but I like the first one better so far. But that's just me. My number one, drum roll, please. But it's actually not going to be too big of a surprise because it has already been mentioned. And that is, I actually gave my nod to Firefly for my number one season. I do feel like it is one of the absolute best sci-fi shows that's out there. I actually put all the seasons, ha ha ha, jokingly, because there's only one. But yeah, the Firefly got my nod for number one. It is phenomenal. There is absolutely no reason, since there is only one season, for anybody not to go out there and find this and watch it from start to beginning, from start to finish. So that's my number one. Todd, is his going to be a surprise, or is it going to be another Babylon 5 episode season?
Well, you know me, it is my favorite show. So yes, my number one does come from Babylon 5, the only remaining season I haven't already talked about, and it is season 3. And part of the reason I fumbled when I was talking about season 4.
Todd edited out the fumble to make himself sound less stupid.
Is because I was going to say it's controversial because some people pick season 4 instead of season 3. And I was like, wait, I'm talking about season 4. All right. So yes, season 3, I do like better than season 4. And I might be in the minority on that. Where season 4 is a lot of the resolution to stuff, season 3 is where you're still in the thick of things. It's where you still got some issues between Narn and Centauri. It's where the shadows are kind of still moving behind the scenes, but then right near the end of the series they do start to go into open fighting. It's the season that has the most mystery and mystique to it. It's before things get settled. It's and granted, the season that does also have some standalone episodes still, and one or two of those aren't that great, but the arc episodes still make up for it. So some of the best episodes from this season are Dust to Dust. That's where one character actually thinks that he's having a religious experience when maybe that's not what's actually going on. But he takes it that way anyway. Then you have Messages from Earth, Point of No Return, and Severed Dreams. And those three consecutive episodes kind of form a trilogy at the very center of the season, and therefore the center of the whole series. And it's where some things happen that you wouldn't expect to happen, and where the creator really turns things on its head to where Babylon 5 becomes like something you wouldn't expect it to be compared to a Star Trek show. Messages from Earth is probably one of the better episodes, but Point of No Return and Severed Dreams are my number two and number one favorite episodes from the whole series. Point of No Return is also the episode for which the entire season 3 gets its overall title. Severed Dreams won, I can't remember if it's the Nebula or the Hugo, but it's whichever award it is that also gets awarded to TV and movies. Then more episodes from that season include War Without End Parts 1 and 2, which are the next two episodes in that time travel trilogy I mentioned earlier when I mentioned Babylon Squared from season 1. There's the episode And the Rock Cried Out No Hiding Place, which is my third favorite episode of Babylon 5, and it's the episode where one scene made me realize while I was in college and I was obsessed with Star Trek, it made me realize, holy crap, Babylon 5 is better than Star Trek. And from that moment on, Babylon 5 has been my favorite series. And then there's the season 3 finale, Zahadoom, which is one of the best season finales. So, yeah, no big surprise. Babylon 5 had to make it to my number one, and it's season 3.
So let's see. That means you had what? Did you list every episode of Babylon 5?
Yeah, all 5 seasons. Okay. Season 1 was in my lower tier honorable mentions. Season 5 was in my upper tier honorable mentions. And honestly, if I were to think about that some more, I could flip-flop those. Season 2 was in the bottom half of my top 10. In fact, it was number 6. And then my number 2 and number 1 were two more seasons from Babylon 5. So.
Okay. And Andrew, you had how many seasons of Doctor Who on your list?
I think 5.
Okay.
How many did Todd have of Babylon 5?
It was 5, yeah.
Oh, so we were even. Cool.
And they both had Doctor Who or Babylon 5 in their number 6, 2, and 1 spots.
Yeah, and looking through, I think I only had two more repeats. I think I had 2 seasons of Dark Matter. No, I had 2 seasons of Dark Matter, 2 seasons of The Orville, 2 seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation, 2 of Deep Space Nine, and 2 of The Orville, I think. So yeah, I had, oh, and 2 of Stargate Universe. So I had a few pairs, 5 of Babylon 5, and then I think I had 1 of SG-1, 1 of Grimm, and 1 of Alienation. Okay. Well, it felt so good to finally get this topic done. You know, I love talking about TV, and I think we had a really good variety between the four of us. So, yeah, I really appreciate you guys, you know, joining in and making this a good topic. We've already talked about the favorite single episode stories. We still technically have favorite multi-episode stories left, but I don't know how much enthusiasm there is for that one. And at this point, it might almost be redundant with us talking about single episodes and then listing some of our favorite episodes during the seasons. But we'll see. So maybe that episode is still coming up. Folks, if you'd like to tell us some of your favorite seasons of sci-fi, fantasy, horror, or superhero shows, let us know. You can contact us at discerninggeeks@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter, now called X, and also on Facebook. Just look for us at Discerning Geeks. Yeah, and let us know some of your favorite seasons. I would be really curious to know what some people feel, or what do you feel about our list? Let us know. And I think that we don't need to roll for another topic, because we're also right in the middle of starting to record for our Christmas episodes, which we've already rolled offline, and we're getting close to season four where we might redo our lists. So am I correct that we don't really need to roll anything right now?
Of course.
I think that's correct. I would definitely encourage our listeners, not sure when this will come out, either before or after, or how in the lineup it'll fall with all of our Christmas episodes, but be on the lookout for some fun Christmas episodes like we did a couple of years ago. Sorry we missed last year. Last year was a little tough on the podcast, but I feel like we're getting back in the swing. We're back in the stride, recording regularly for you guys. That being said, make sure you rate us. Help us out. Help us get some ratings on iTunes or Podchaser or however you listen to your podcast. If it gives you an opportunity to make a comment or to rate or any kind of way to show that you're listening, we would appreciate it, because that just helps us move up the list and become more visible to other people. So yeah, we appreciate you guys listening. Todd, I like the topic. We had a good time discussing it. It's always interesting because we do have a very, I think, broad interest. Mm-hmm. But that is what makes us all discerning geeks. And hopefully our listeners will relate to one geek or another, or maybe they do all, and that's even better. Guys, it's been a pleasure.
I vote for we do the multi-episode list, because I feel like I want to have some arguments about Doctor Who.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right, because it has some arcs in it too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some.
Well, this episode is running long, so we probably need to wrap up. But thank you guys again for doing this topic. It was a great topic, and I look forward to talking about TV some more in some future episodes. And I know Dave has already said it, but I'm still going to wrap up by saying be well, be safe. Thank you for joining us for all of our season, for all of our three seasons of our podcast so far. Stay with us as we soon enter season four and continue to enjoy whatever makes you a discerning geek.
Salutations.
Umbrella Chronicles? Really?
May the force be with you.
Always.